never fails. Amen. Well, this again, so good to have Brother House to come and speak to us tonight. And again, I've already enjoyed so very much Brother House, and I've already given a good introduction a while ago. So come on, Brother House.
Some people call that an introduction. Some call it digging a grave. Well, you make your choice. I'm glad you're here tonight.
Amen.
I surely am. And I'm glad that we're able to be here. I heard the preacher talking about anybody north of the Red River was a Yankee Sundays. Did you guys hear that? Of course, I heard a lot of things Sunday, that the women normally outweigh the men in the choir. I heard all sorts of stuff. I heard new stuff Sunday. I really did. Brave statements, really was. Talking about being Yankees, I was born in Arkansas, raised in Louisiana. You can't get any further south than that, you know. And I ran across some things that you never hear a southern boy say. Number one, when I get old and retire, I'm going to move up north somewhere. Never hear it. Just doesn't happen. No. Number two, you never hear a southern boy say, duct tape won't fix that. Number three, you can't take that truck in there. Here's a classic, you never hear a southern boy say, them wheels too big on that truck. Never happened. I love the one that said, you never hear a southern boy say, trim the fat off that steak. I could go on and on, but that's not getting us anywhere. I'd like for you to open your Bible tonight to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. One more thing you'll never hear a southern boy say. Are you ready? Checkmate. No. The southern boys, I'll raise you 10. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto the Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thine whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. If you study the Gospels properly, you learn that there's basically a threefold deal on being a Christian. It's not really a deal, it's an offer. It's a way of walking the spiritual life. First of all, if we want to be successful in God's eyes, number one, we must first answer his call on our life. Now, some of us he calls to formal pulpit preaching. All of us he calls to preaching. All of us he calls to follow him. All of us he calls to take up the cross. And we're not ever going to be successful in God's eyes until we do that. Number two, because of what God has given us, all of us, he holds us accountable as to how we use that success that we achieve in this life. As you remember in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, there's that Jesus teaching those disciples, and he made a very pointed statement. He said, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Well, we're just sure that's not right, because we know life is wrapped up in what we got. That's what it's all about. That's why we work, so we can get what we want. It's a crazy world, you know. And the third thought is that even among our success, we must remember we are not self-sufficient. We didn't do it on our own, and we can't keep it going on our own. We need a proper relationship with the Lord. And you know, I get concerned about doing stewardship so much because folks think that it's all about the money. What it's all about is there in verse 33 that I just read. But seek you first the kingdom of God. Now that's what it's all about.
Amen.
That's what the giving's tied into.
Yeah.
That's what Paul was talking about when he said, whatsoever you do, do all to the honor and glory of God. Everything, and especially our giving, ought to be done for his honor and for his glory. With that in mind, I would submit to you that he has, number one, given us a pattern for our giving. And it's there in verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, when the inspired word of God says all these things, what is the word things in reference to? What he's been talking about.
Right.
What you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall wear, where you live, what you drive. All of that is there. And it's just a wonderful pattern. If we understand God's concept of stewardship, it's only because we first understand that we have to put him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things. See, everything you and I do ought to be with the kingdom's cause in mind. Everything. You know, everything that we do, you see. In our dispensation, if I can use this word, in our dispensation, this is performed through the local New Testament church. You and I are to give our attention to God through the local church. I'd just be glad when we get through this house church thing that's going on now. And this thing of I don't need a church, I can be whatever God wants me to be outside of the church. No, that's not quite true, you see, because then we're patterning our life after the heathen.
Yeah.
And God gives us a heaven way of living, not a heathen way of living. And we need to understand that. And this entire sixth chapter that we read from insists that everything that we do be done with the motive of God first and not man. Did you notice the very first verse of chapter 6? Look at it if you would. It's quite interesting. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. You probably have noticed them. They like to be sure everybody knows what they give. If there's a special offering, they really need to be vocal about what they gave, you know. And that's the wrong motive. Matter of fact, the Bible says you get no reward for that. Check that one off. That didn't work. You might give a lot of money, but if it's to get your name on the bill, then check it off. I still get a bad spirit about Joe Blow's Memorial Baptist Church or whatever the name they want to stick up. May have been a wonderful man, but he should have insisted they don't put his name on it.
Amen.
Insisted. It should have been maybe Jesus Christ Memorial Baptist Church. That would have been a whole lot better than that, you see. But verse 1 says, don't do it before men. Just don't do it. Then look at verse 5, if you would. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. You know them, don't you? Sooner or later, the preacher quits calling on them for the closing prayer. Why? Well, they'll use enough these and thous and oh God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Lost person out there, I don't know Isaac from Jacob.
Yeah.
He's not praying to God. He's praying for the people to hear him.
Yeah.
You put the wrong thing first. Now, it's all about first things first.
Amen.
You do it for God. And then in verse 16, of all things, it even has to do with fasting. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto fast. Did you ever see them? About 12 hours into it, they look like death warmed over. You know. I mean, when they come to the church, you know something bad wrong. Don't ask them. Oh, well, you have to understand, I'm fasting. Well, you might as well get off of it. You just lost the benefit when you announced it. No, you don't fast so folks will think you're spiritual. No, look. If you appear unto men to fast, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Someone said, well, I just don't want to be a hypocrite about it. You're a hypocrite about it when you tell people you're fasting. See, what Jesus said, the hypocrites, they'll tell you about it. But in verse 17, he talks about the Christian, the good guys. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face. You know, comb your hair if you got any. Wash your face. Why do all that? Why do all that? Verse 18, that thou appear not unto men to fast. That's not being a hypocrite when you don't tell folks you feel bad because you're fasting. That's being a Christian. Amen. I'll do my own amen. It'll just take a little longer tonight. And somebody said, what does that have to do with money? It has to do with what I've been talking about. Too often we let money take the first place. And money is just a little tool that God uses, puts in our possession, lets us steward it for His honor and His glory. But His honor and His, seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And you know, God has not only a plan and a pattern, but He has a purpose for our giving. It's not just something incidental. And when we give, even before we give, we need to question our motive. Why are we doing it? Well, I want the preacher to get off my back. Keep your money.
Yeah.
Well, I want us to be able to build that new building and remodel. Keep your money. Now, I want you to do that too, but that's not a motive for giving.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to do that tomorrow, but that's not a motive for giving. We need to understand that, you see. One can be obedient in the fact that he gives, and he doesn't give with the right motive, it's over. It's just over, and we need to understand that and realize that. You know, some people think giving is like an insurance policy to keep anything bad from happening to you. It doesn't work like that. And others have got the idea through maybe maybe too much emphasis, not enough emphasis, whatever, and maybe watching Christian television, that if they'll give a little, God's going to dump a bucket full of money back on them. He might do that, but he doesn't do that to improve your standard of living. He does it to raise your standard of giving. All right. And the Bible's plain. Not only is there a plan and a purpose, but God has provisions for our giving. Verse 25 through verse 32 is wonderful. And I'm not going to reread it, but I want to ask you to turn to verse 32 and let's catch the last phrase there. It's just the most wonderful thing. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. You believe that? Okay, now we're not talking about wants, are we? Talking about needs. If you had a child and they had a need and you knew about it and they were obedient children, what would you do? Would you get it for them? The Bible is teaching us. You don't need to go about fretting about these things, your clothes, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. What, you don't need to be worried about tomorrow. Your Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. You don't have to get uptight about it. Just obey God. Let Him have His way. That's where you don't need to be over anxious. Don't take any, just don't get hyper. Don't fret about it, you see. We have the promises, and they're wonderful. A plan and a pattern and a purpose and a provision. But I want you, not only that, lo and behold, God has a place for our giving. It's quite interesting, really. The place of our giving, this will not surprise anybody, is the local church. Always has been. See, now God's government originates in the throne room. Would that be right? And then, you know, you come down and look at a verse over here. I'm just going to read you one if I can find it in here somewhere. And I had it marked a while ago, and the preacher got up here and got me upset. And I lost my place. Listen, let every soul, Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Somebody said, okay, now what does that mean to us? That means to us the way that His government is implemented for today's Christian is through the local church, and only through the local church. God's kingdom way is not placed here through our government. Now, our government is placed here through God. Amen. That confuses me sometimes. Yeah. But I know it's true. And since I know it's true, I have to pray for those who are in authority over us. Amen. Which means I have to pray for people I don't like. But you pray for them honestly and sincerely. But you see, His government is implemented to the Christian through the local church. We obey all laws till they violate this law. Well, I didn't get far with that. I'm trying, you see. But see, and so everything is to be given a sacred consideration then, because His government is implemented to us through the local church, which is a sacred thing. Then everything we have and do has to be looked at in a sacred way. In other words, you can't divide it up between sacred and secular. Yeah. Christians don't need to mess with the secular part of it. It's all sacred. See, my job is secular, not if it's to earn money for the sacred cause.
Right.
You see. And we need to realize then that money is not a secular thing, and we ought never, pay careful attention, we ought never come up with a statement like, now this money is God's and this money is mine. Can't divide it up. this money is God's, and that's all I have in my possession. It's just not ours. It can't be ours, you see. And there in Matthew, look back to verse 19 now, if you would. And we get an interesting thought. This one would do to close on, probably. If you mark in your Bible, I want you to mark something just a minute. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Take your marker now, and in verse 19, underline those two words, upon earth. And then in verse 20, underline those two words, in heaven. And now you've got it set before you. There are two ways Christians can operate. They can operate in a heavenly way or an earthly way. A heavenly way or a heathen way. But you can't do it both ways. And we have to understand that, you see. Two places, the place of heathen giving on earth, the place of heaven giving, you know. Now, the heathen giving has all its emphasis on the earth and earthly things. The heavenly giving has all of its emphasis on God's way and God's things, and we need to understand that very carefully, you see. If we're not, see, here's the deal. We have folks in our churches all over the country, and their church life, their right here life, is based on their earthly preferences. They want things done here like it's done out there.
Yeah.
And that's where all of this silliness comes from, because we get our direction, our priorities from the wrong thing, you see. And whenever you're tuned into that earthly thing rather than the heavenly, your priorities reflect it. It'll show up in your church attendance. What do you think hindered the folks who are not sick and not working from being here tonight? Earthly preferences.
Amen.
Over heavenly preferences.
Yeah.
Pretty good? Yeah. Why do you think folks will spend money on themselves and not obey God about the tithe and offering? They're tied to heathen preferences. And it's a terrible thing, you know. Matter of fact, your money's talking. The wise man said on one occasion, a feast is made for laughter and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. That's before he got down to the end of it and said, all is vanity. Huh?
Yeah.
Money doesn't answer anything unless it's put into the place of God's choosing. It's an amazing thing. I want to point this out, and we'll come back to our close now. I missed this for years, and I know I'm slow, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Let's go back to verse 19. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I never quite got that investment part of it. What it says here that I missed, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, it's 5 words into verse 9. Yourselves. Lay up not for yourselves treasures upon earth. Okay. I can kind of get that. It's the next one, see, because I always kind of thought I was laying up treasures for heaven. But verse 20 says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You reckon that's what it meant to say? That when we do right down here about our tithe and our offering and we're good stewards of what God's given us, that it's actually an investment for us in heaven? Absolutely. God speaks perfect English when he wants to. He didn't mean lay up for yourselves so we can build some golden streets. No. We are investing for ourselves in the life that lasts forever in the joyful, glorious place called heaven. Yeah. We're his money managers. That's all we really are. That's what a steward is. But he gives us the option of investing where we choose. And so you can be a good steward, a bad steward, be a heavenly steward, or a heathen steward. And it's interesting when you get to verse 19, verse 20, the whole thing, the entire concept is based on faith. I can't see in heaven. I don't get a monthly report on my investment. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I know it can't be this way, but if I don't base it on faith, then sometimes I might get to wondering, since I'm not getting a report, I wonder if my investment is paying off. No, it's a faith thing. God said it, and really that just needs to settle it, and there is a wonderful protection on it, and God's way is no lose, and I really don't need to worry. Let me read you a verse from 1 Timothy chapter 6. You'll be very familiar with it. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, not money, the love of money is the root of all evil, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. When you start after money, you have erred from the faith. Now, there's nothing wrong with money. Nothing wrong with making money. God's been in the business of making men rich since Abraham's time. But you don't set out to live for money. You set out to live for God. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That'd really be a kick in the head if that were true, wouldn't it? What did you say God had done? He hath given us richly all things. It's that other part that gets us Baptists to enjoy. See, God's not out here to hurt us. God's not out here to put us in financial distress. God is out here to move us under the windows of heaven where he can bless us and we can enjoy life as we are obedient to God. And we go after it the wrong way. I would go to church, preacher, but they made me go to church when I was a kid, and I want to enjoy life. And I want to think stupid. But they're not. See, it goes back to that Sunday night thing of getting in the Bible and seeing what it says about this thing of stewardship. Right. And it's all designed around a faith program that will bless us and produce good things for the work of God on earth. And I hope that between now and tomorrow night when you make your commitment, or Sunday when you make your commitment, whenever you do that, that you'll really seek out what God would have you do. It doesn't make, you don't do foolish things. You don't do crazy things. You seek a word from God about what he'd have you do. And there's some folks ain't about to do that, because they'd just rather not know. They're afraid of what God would tell them. Isn't that ridiculous? Yeah. Afraid that God's going to want some of their money. We need to grow up. Time's short. Amen. Let's get it done while there's yet time. Bow your head, please. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Christians are praying. Wonderful, wonderful verse. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. So you don't worry and you don't fret. You, by faith, obey him, seek him first, and all these things are added unto you. Heavenly Father, help us now in this time of reflection, in this time of thoughtful pursuit of making you first, seeking you first. I pray that we could make good decisions, decisions that bring good results, and that you might be able to delight in the prosperity of your servants. In Jesus' name, amen. Standing together, we begin to sing an invitation hymn, "You Come Right Now." That God